Okay, say it.
I'm using the Rockwafle.
Deep in the farthest recesses of the most distant jungle lies a city. A city populated by the most mysterious, terrifying, and downright grotesque denizens ever seen by mortal eye. Here, in the darkened corners of this cavernous locale, sits an ordinary, average brick building with an innocuous, ordinary, average, blinking neon sign which reads, On Air. It is here where each week, Seth Breedlove and Mark Matzke convene to discuss the greatest mysteries the world has ever known. Now, strap on your hiking boots, grab your trusty walking stick, and don't forget your machete as we begin our journey through Monsteropolis.
This is Monsteropolis, a show about anomalies, legends, and monsters. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Seth Breedlove. I'm joined, as always, by my faithful cohort, Mark Matzke.
Hey. Hey. How are you doing, Seth, in the wake of life completely changing 100%?
Yeah, that was what I was going to ask you about, is like how much time do we want to spend on talking about the coronavirus plague this week?
Yeah, I don't know.
The nation.
I could tell lots of stories, I suppose, but maybe just talk a little bit about the personal effect, if any.
Yeah,
and,
I mean,
then
I don't know.
Swiftly.
See, that's the thing. I don't know how many, if people want to hear us talk about this, or if they want to forget about it. We'll talk about it this episode, and then the next episode we'll completely act like nothing's going on and all is right in the world.
Yeah,
I mean, Mark was here. You were here what, two weeks ago at the office?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
And then we went, you had a Boy Scout meeting you were speaking at immediately yeah. following. You came over to our house for dinner. We had some really lame bacon wraps that I made. And
oh, they were underplay those were quite good, I thought, especially the amount of bacon that
there was a lot of bacon on those.
It was impressive.
so we did that, and then you left, and obviously we've posted both those shows, and in the interim we have lost Mysteries and Monsters is canceled. So there's no Mysteries and Monsters now. Before we do this, and I hate to start the show off with everything going on in the world on a negative note, but we've had a complaint on the Podbean from someone who is a listener who said the show has degenerated into advertisements for our films and events. And to this person, I would just say that this is the official podcast of Small Town Monsters, which is why we say that at the top of the show. It's so we can discuss things relating to Small Town Monsters. This is not a Bigfoot podcast, and it's not simply an urban legend podcast. It's the official podcast of Small Town Monsters. That is a film production company that I run, that Mark is involved in, and a lot of episodes are going to focus on that. So if you don't like it, I would highly recommend finding another show to listen to.
We are degenerates to start with. So
yes,
to say that it has degenerated from there is pretty low.
Yeah, yeah. We've fallen.
We have cratered.
Yeah. But yeah, the show, forget it. Let's move on from that. But Mysteries and Monsters was canceled. We had originally set another, I mean, this is how quickly all this happened. We never even really got to officially discuss this between us. Now, I did a little disclaimer at the beginning of last week's episode giving the new date, but obviously that's over. I mean, that's gone. So that's canceled now too. So the May date is gone. We could have rescheduled for even later into the summer, maybe even early fall. But at this point, I really like the idea of this being a springtime event. So we're going to try to work on getting it together for next year. So 2021 hopefully will be the inaugural year. And this is not to say either that there won't be something at the Canton Palace Theater this year during 2020. We always do events at the Palace. So I'm sure we'll try to get something together for this year. But yeah, the event is unfortunately canceled. The other thing I need to say is that On the Trail of UFOs is now streaming on Amazon, Vimeo On Demand, available on Blu-ray and DVD. So if you're bored, if you're locked inside with the self-isolation quarantining stuff, watch it. It's out there. So how did it affect?
That's what my mom and dad are doing.
Are they really?
They're on episode. Yeah, they're on episode 5.
Wow.
As of the time we are recording.
Oh, so awesome.
They're kind of portioning out one or two episodes each night, but it arrived at just the right time, I think, for a lot of people. It's kind of weird. But.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, we wanted to put it out early. It was supposed to come out on Saturday of last weekend, and we were having such dramatic issues with Amazon that I had to just launch the whole thing. It was originally only supposed to be available so you could buy the whole season for like 1 week, and then on the actual release date, it would, you know, release for rentals too. But we just, we were having dramatic issues with Amazon, and they do not want to, they don't care. Like, you're working against a giant conglomerate that's also dealing with coronavirus like the rest of us. So I'm sure that's creating problems too. So yeah. As far as like personally, you know, like it's affected me in ways that I find hard to complain about because of the fact that it has not yet. Boy, you say, I'm not even going to say that. That's like asking for it. But I would say it's touched, a lot of people close to me, in terms of job loss and stuff like that. And I think that was the biggest surprise is like, as of last week, a bunch of people I know were doing great, had good jobs, you know, 10 years, some of them had jobs for a decade or more. And as of Monday morning, a lot of people I know had lost those jobs. So, that was the gut punch of the whole thing for me. And then just like wanting to make sure that everyone's okay. So I have a malfunction in my brain where I feel like it is always my duty to take care of everyone or like try to make sure everyone's okay. And this is like a situation that's way beyond anything I can control. So that's difficult for me just as a control freak. What about you? How about you're dealing with it on another level?
Yeah, it's been essentially the most gut-wrenching week of my professional life, if you want to say it that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you consider that as a pastor, you sort of depend on a weekly and often more than weekly gathering of people in a central location, then to have to come to the conclusion that the best thing that you can do for the well-being of that community is not meet. And then you add to that as a pastor, you kind of, in a very forward way, I guess, you sort of depend on that for being able to live your life.
Yeah, yeah.
To make that call, it was surreal, I guess, is the only way that I can say it. And I feel like I've been on a nonstop adrenaline ride because everybody has an opinion about that decision. And so, you know, in the span of about 2-3 days, we shifted everything that we do basically over to internet-based streaming, Facebook Live, making personal appointments, but feeling that it is the right thing to do to listen to CDC guidelines and follow those indefinitely until they're lifted. So that's kind of the short story of where we're at right now. Is we're looking at a whole different model of keeping things going and staying connected with people.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing. What the bizarre thing is that now we are recording on a Thursday. It already feels like a new normal, if you can say that, you know, and we're all hoping, for as soon as possible, being able to get back into the church building proper and so forth. But I think it has a lot of that. It's just a commentary on human adaptability, I suppose. It's like, now there's a part of me that's like, well, this is the new routine. I'll go into the office and record a thing and call some people and make appointments. And then I think knowing that you and I were going to record was also a little bit more of normalcy. So
yeah, I'm at
odd, you know,
right. I'm at the office. So like I haven't been coming in. You know, I've been trying to, even though, I mean, there's no one in this building. I mean, you know, you come in, I mean, we never see anyone. Yeah. right. So it's not like we're surrounded by people in here, but it's still, you know, it's a building with people in it. So I've been trying to practice the self-isolation thing, stay with my family pretty much solely. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we've been locked up in the house. Now we've gone, I don't know if you've done this. I don't know how other people feel about this, but we have gone on a couple hikes, and mostly just cause like you, today I just took Tommy and went for a drive, drove down to Massillon, turned around and came back, like didn't stop anywhere, but just to get out. And we're also looking at a situation where they could lock us down completely at any moment. So I'm trying to enjoy being able to move while I still can.
Definitely.
But yeah, you're right. One thing you said there too that's important is the connection, like finding a connection with people. And you're talking about your congregation, but I think that's stuff like continuing to do Monsteropolis as long as we can is important, just because I think it keeps some sense of connection between us and the listeners. And you know, like I've seen a lot of like sports shows and stuff go on hiatus and all that, and that just I don't know why, like shows I don't even like will go on hiatus, and all of a sudden it's very depressing to me. I mean, it all happened so quick. I think that's the, you know, that's the thing. So
no doubt, because we had, I mean, from the time the story really blew up to making a decision about do we get everybody together on Sunday, I mean, essentially we had two real days to make an actual decision.
Yeah, it seems like Friday. Like last week, Friday was the day where everything exploded. So that's the way it seemed to me.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Because I mean, as like last Tuesday, for example, I had a meeting with a number of pastors that we typically have. And at that point, just about everyone's conclusion was, well, yeah, of course we're going to meet on Sunday. We'll be very careful about making sure everything is sanitized. And, you know, that's our plan moving forward. And it just ramped up. And the information that kept coming out was so dire that Friday morning, a couple of our leaders, you know, we got in touch and they said, you know, this really doesn't sound good. Mm-hmm. And so we made some decisions to shut down even before some of the other information came out. So in a weird way, in an admittedly a self-serving way, you know, when the governor came out and said, you know, I know we said groups of 50, but now we're saying 10.
Yeah.
That was a relief, because it signaled to us that we had made the right call ahead of time and didn't have to revisit another decision and try to communicate that. So it's just really, you know, no seminary that I know of trains you in doing church in time of a pandemic. Mm-hmm. So it's making the whole thing up on the fly. And it's been, I don't know, it's unprecedented, I guess.
Yeah. And the moments of escape, I guess, for me have been things relating to STM. So I honestly have not done a ton, and I should probably address this on the show, because this is a Small Town Monsters podcast, much to that one dude's chagrin. I've been asked by a number of people, you know, family and friends, how this will affect our schedule. I mean, as of right now, STM schedule is still the same. There's one shoot that is probably going to get moved, and it's been moved already twice. It was actually the Lake Michigan Mothman shoot. It was supposed to begin next weekend. So as of right now, that's pushed, but it's only pushed a week. So I think that's going to get pushed again, again.
Yeah.
You know, and, but as far as like, you know, Mothman Legacy is halfway done in terms of our interviews. I've still got another five or six of those to do, but I could very easily still move on shooting some recreations unless we get into the, you know, the full lockdown. But either way, you know, as of right now, we should be on track with everything as usual. And obviously some of that is going to be predicated on how this lasts, but even if it drags out into like even if there's a lockdown and it drags out into May, which God forbid, but if that happens, we should still be able to continue right back into filming. The only thing that I could perceive being delayed would be the Lake Michigan Mothman. That's just because right now I was supposed to be editing that. Like, that's why we were going to shoot next weekend, and then I'd come back and I'd have all of April to really work on it. So right now that's the only project that I could see getting delayed, but I still will be doing everything I can to get that done, you know, this year. As for like things like the On the Trail of Bigfoot BC shoot, you and I haven't even discussed it, so I don't even know. And I think it might be, even be too early to know what's going to happen. So, but as far as like the stuff we announced for this year, heck, I mean, like Kickstarter backers already got On the Trail of UFOs. So Adrian was sending those out last week, even with everything going in over the weekend and even Monday. So she has been steadfast in getting orders out the door. I just took a bunch to the post office today. So we're still shipping everything in the midst of all this craziness. And I mean, like, if things do start stretching out, I'm probably going to be trying to find things I can do at home as far as editing. I've kicked around the idea of launching some sort of like YouTube series, just so we'd have something out there for people to watch relating to STM. So I'm just trying to find ways to fill the time, because this, anyone that knows me knows that I get real antsy when I'm not like traveling and working. And so that's where I'm at right now. That's been the hardest thing for me, has been, it's funny. I talked to someone today and I told him, I think it was my mom. I told her, I am not someone who does well with people telling me what to do. And I don't do well with being in one place for very long. And, both of those things are things I'm grappling with right now. So,
right. Yeah. This is both. So it's multiplied. Yeah, I think right now, I mean, my approach to handling it is essentially just finding, you know, we're all being squeezed to be as creative as we can in everything, but it seems like just finding a way to truly help somebody else, even the smallest thing, you might discount how important it is, but just like thinking of somebody to call and making that phone call and making their day better, I think that helps them, but it also helps you, you know, to feel like you're, as a person, you're there's still things that you can do, even if you're landlocked or what have you, to help hold things together, I guess. And
And stay in touch with people. Like, people, social media is a train wreck right now. I mean, it always is, but I've never seen it exemplified so clearly as it is right now, to the point where I am on the verge of shutting everything down. I actually did delete my Twitter app, and I was pretty much, if you see me on there, it's just because I'm on my browser and I'm retweeting stuff, and I got to keep stuff relating to the business active. But, you know, Twitter is a train wreck. Facebook has been disastrous. There was a guy on there this morning when I got up saying that the National Guard had deployed in Ohio and they were about to lock down splinter cells of what's the gang, I mean, it was insane, man. It was like, there were splinter cells in Ohio, and they'd seen an opening with coronavirus, and they were coming out of the woodwork and they were attacking towns. And
oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, this was not a sane, obviously, but an adult man. And right. honestly, that wasn't that crazy compared to some of the other stuff I've seen this past mm-hmm. week on there. So you just can't.
Oh, sure.
I really strongly recommend people maybe even avoid it entirely. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to handle it is the other thing. Cause you know, I've been really trying to closely follow the numbers as they come out and all that stuff. And I think I'm to the point now where it's doing me no good. Mm-hmm. And I'm just at this point, you know, and people are going to say, well, you're putting your head in the sand and all that stuff. But I mean, it doesn't do me any good to know a lot of this stuff. It really doesn't.
Sure.
Especially when it's changing hourly is the other thing.
Sure. And I think it's an extremely valid point to say that, you know, we're kind of responsible at this time for our own mental health and well-being, and too much of that, you know, the changeable nature of this news can really have an adverse effect on people, just mentally and emotionally. You mm-hmm. have to, you know, give yourself permission to take some of those breaks and just stay off for a while mm-hmm. because it's not going to benefit anybody if you've sort of, you know, gotten yourself into a fetal position, which would be very easy to do.
Right.
If you just stayed plugged in 24/7, I can't do it that way. I mean, I find myself compulsively checking my iPhone news updates.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine having the TV on all the time with the news getting pumped into my mind. I couldn't take it.
No, and it's
not built that way.
During the first week or the first couple of days, what I noticed is there was a very clear sort of cycle going on where the morning seemed more upbeat, and then by the afternoon it was doom and gloom pretty much incessantly. And I was finding that this is a very personal episode, apparently.
It is. Yeah.
But I was finding in the afternoon that I was beyond depressed. Like you were going to bed thinking this is the end of everything. And, I'm to the stage now of everything where I think I'm avoiding, you know, news more than anything is kind of where I'm at.
Right.
And, you know, it's hitting things that are very important to me, like small businesses.
Right.
You know, like the Valley Cafe across the street is closed, and, they had just bought a building across the street from that, and that's closed. And, mm-hmm. you know, like a lot of these little businesses in downtown Wadsworth might not be here in a couple of weeks. One thing I think people overlook or ignore or maybe just don't realize about small business is just the nature of how independent business, small, especially retail and restaurants work. They're mm-hmm. they're not set up to survive a week of missed revenue, let alone 2 to 3 to 4 to, you know, so when people are sort of casually throwing around those numbers of everything closing down, you know, for that time, mm-hmm. The reaction I've been seeing is for people to call people selfish. You know, if they mention that you don't understand how this works and how it affects people's lives so quickly. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So you might be right, but you're not right. Like there's a lot of balance that needs to be, mm-hmm. implemented when you're dealing with people right now. Cause there's people are right and left are going to get hit by this, and it's mm-hmm. just beginning. So
correct.
That's the unfortunate part of it. It's like, we're just getting into this. Do we want to talk about the Grafton Monster?
I don't know.
Yeah.
We could, or we could wait for another episode. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe this should just be our coronavirus catch up.
Yeah. It probably ought to be, I guess, at this point. That's the way to go.
Yeah.
I think, cause you know, what you were saying there about small businesses is absolutely true. Mm-hmm. And I would even put churches into that. I mean, sort of independent churches are working for the most part in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And So that's all I'll say about that. But the one thing that this also brings to my mind in sort of a wide angle sense is, I think we've all known for some time, probably over the course of a couple decades anyway, that the news outlets mm-hmm. in our country, mm-hmm. Well, I'll say it this way. At this point, nobody really knows how to receive reliable information.
Right.
And that in the past has been probably no more than, it didn't matter except as a matter of opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you kind of align yourself in the news outlet with where you stand on various issues and you just trust that's what it is. But now I think we see in a crisis, we need something better than what we have because, mm-hmm. I mean, you've seen it. That's one of the frustrations with social media is everything from the sky isn't falling. What are you worried about?
Yeah.
To, you know, the New World Order is about to flip the switch. And it really, it's like, you know, it's like some people, I think, honestly, that they, that's their belief. And either one of those is not good. And so I think it's been hard. It's been like a wake up call, I think, for me just personally, is how are you going to receive that very vital information? What sources do you really trust?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this has been brewing for many decades in our country, is just a mistrust of the quote unquote official story.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. How do you fix that? That seems profoundly broken. And
yeah.
Now we're seeing the fruit of that.
Mm-hmm.
Not good, because nobody knows really what we're supposed to do.
No. And this is a tough one, because like you don't want to, I'll just say I've seen the event, everything politicized, and that's bothered me
mm-hmm.
to a great yeah. extent too. So in both ways, like both mm-hmm. both directions. And so it's I did have a friend, I think it was Heather Mosier, said to me yesterday, she thinks when we come out of this there will be a unification. That if there is not a unification, she doesn't know that, you know, we can rebound from this. And I would actually agree mm-hmm. with that. Like, I think,
yeah,
I think this is sort of like one of those, I mean, this, you know, it happened after 9/11. I mean, the country was united right. after 9/11. I'd like to see that again.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
maybe that'll be the case. But I think the big thing is to, you know, everyone keep moving forward however you can. You can say things like that. It sounds like rhetoric, because for mm-hmm. a lot of people, they're not leaving their home. So like, how do you make yourself move forward? I'm going to be working on different projects that we had in the works that I'd kind of let lie. You know, we had books we were working on. We need to get to work on the script for the Ape Canyon project we've talked about.
Yeah.
There's little things that we can do in the interim. And it's, I guess I should mention that too, is like, as a company, STM is not set up to handle this kind of thing for an extended period of time. So, if we get into months upon months, obviously we'll be in a tricky situation as a company, but we you know, because of the fact that a lot of our income is from like streaming media and stuff, we're in a decent place to weather the storm. I am thankful for that. And it is a good, like, it's crazy that it hit after I'd finished UFOs editing and before I really had started editing the other stuff. So it's it's falling at a good time for us. As far as not a good time, you know what I mean? Like, it's falling at a time where we would have been in some serious trouble if we were had a deadline looming for Mothman Legacy where it was like a month out,
mm-hmm.
and there was no way to get the recreation shot or something like that. We're not in that situation, so that's a good thing. But as far as, yeah, I think we're you don't know. So I don't even want to talk about how great we were looking for the future or anything. I'm just saying, we've been asked, you know, people have asked if STM's okay. And I think we're fine for now. Independent businesses all over are going to be slammed by this. So,
right.
And we're the overlooked demographic, by the way. That's one thing I think this whole event has kind of shown me is, you know, when there's so much talk time given to keeping the airlines afloat and mega corporations, and we almost for a little while there weren't even talking about independent businesses. There's something wrong.
Right.
So again, that's not political. Yeah. That's not a political statement.
No, that's a survival statement.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Yeah.
And I guess, I'll say this too. I'm on an emotional level. I think I have really been blown away by the amount of posts that I've seen of people like with Small Town Monsters DVDs and stacks saying, you know, here's what we're doing while we're in self quarantine. Mm-hmm. And that's been pretty amazing to see that, the idea that, you know, the work that's been done is sort of helping people through this time is that means a lot. I mean, there's a intrinsic sort of good quality to that. That is a little bit of a ray of light in this dark time.
Yeah. You know, I do have some news. I mean, should I mention the 1091 thing, even though we haven't signed anything officially yet? I don't even know if I've talked to you about it, actually, now that I said that. Did I talk to you about that?
I don't know. I mean, we've talked about a couple of distribution situations, but at the last time we talked, I think you were waiting on something.
They came through. We're preparing to sign. We have not signed. There's been a lot of back and forth with our manager and them regarding, you know, the agreement and how we want things to shake out. Cause this is a big deal for STM. We've always controlled our own future. We've always controlled all the product we've created other than three of our titles, which were given to a terrible distributor, a few years ago, in a moment of weakness, and we've held off from going with the distributor. But I think we're going to be signing a deal with 1091 to distribute six of the catalog titles, which would be six of the catalog titles as well as On the Trail of UFOs, which would get a very wide release, a future release of The Mothman Legacy. This is something else I probably want to say now, just so if listeners are Kickstarter backers, they get concerned. There's going to be a pushback on the Mothman Legacy date of about a month and a half, it sounds like. There will be a guaranteed clause that the title will come out before Halloween, but it's getting pushed back. But part of the deal is also that we still get to give you the movie when we set. So we said September 20th or whatever, it's coming out for Kickstarter backers on that date. You'll get your DVDs, you'll get your digital. So that's actually part of the agreement we came to. So even though the title will be coming out like a month and weeks later, but they have a lot of faith in that title and want to do a very wide release, like the biggest release we'll ever have done. Nice. There's even talk about a small theatrical run for Mothman Legacy. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting, and that should all be done in the next few days. Getting everything signed and out there. So, and then once all that is done, you hopefully will see the Mothman Legacy come out on a large scale, and the rest of our stuff. I mean, it should be going to a bunch of platforms that those titles haven't been on. I'm not going to say too much about what the six are. I mean, you probably know it's not the first two we made. Is what I'll say, and it's not Boggy, Mothman, and Invasion. But everything after that should be going to 1091. So we'll see how that all shakes out. But that's a little bit of good news, in the midst of all this chaos.
Yeah, that sounds great.
I don't. Should we just shut it down and then start recording the next episode? Because
I think so. That's probably a good thing. I mean, it's been cathartic for me.
Yeah.
If nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't really talked to anyone that I haven't talked to since before this started. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're the first person who I'm like catching up with. So that's been.
Yeah.
It's been kind of nice. Tommy's been asking about you guys. I'm having Tommy. By the way, for listeners, Tommy is the one that did the introduction to this week's show.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It's hard to tell what he's saying because he's three. Almost three. He's coming up on three.
Yeah.
But, all right. Final words, Mark.
I think the main thing that we're seeing here is, as Seth hinted at before, and we have an opportunity to come out of this with a little bit more compassionate look at each other and our communities, and considering, you know, the best interests of other people a little more, probably a lot more, than we were doing before this hit. And, you know, if we still have a ways to go, we don't know how this is all going to pan out, but I really believe that, you know, not only will we emerge from this a little bit stronger, perhaps, but hopefully a little bit wiser. And that starts with each one of us.
I don't even know where to follow that up with. You can say, oh, you know what would be great in the midst of all this stuff is if listeners could send us mail and let us know how you're doing, what you're doing to stay busy.
Yeah.
And just talk to us through monsteropolismail@gmail.com and we'll read it on the show. Maybe we could do like a big listener mailbag in a few weeks.
Yeah.
monsteropolismail@gmail.com. All right. See you guys next week.
All right.
Just smile.